Year's resolutions oftentimes made. People desire for a change in their life, but oftentimes after a month or two or a few weeks go by, those goals or desires that they feel they have become nothing more than a forgotten memory. We sometimes fail to really apply ourselves to discipline ourselves, and the Lord being my helper, I'd like to talk about that just a little bit this morning and going forward into a new year. You know, there's one thing I've learned in life, that you can't change anyone but yourself. You can desire to change everyone, but honestly, you can change no one but yourself. And oftentimes when you want to change someone, as I have on a number of occasions, maybe even in my own family, and I won't go very deep into that, but I come to realize that, you know, maybe I'm the one that needs change. You know, I believe that in the old Baptist church, we've gotten away from preaching Christ, really preaching Christ. I mean, it should be the goal in our life, every one of our lives, to mirror the Lord Jesus Christ from the day we're born until the day that we die. As you well know, a couple of Sundays ago, I preached about change. And for some reason, change is very alarming to both the young and the old alike. Somebody's afraid if they change that they're not going to be in line with what somebody else thinks. But the one that I want to be in line with is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I'm concerned about when the dust settles at the end of the day, is pleasing my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you cannot please both man and Christ. The Bible says you can't serve both mammon and the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's true, you can't. As much as you may want to please everyone else, oftentimes in pleasing those folks, you can't please the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5, the apostle says, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." You know, Paul said, "I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Every action that you and I take, from the way that we talk, from the way that we deal with one another as family, as brothers and sisters in Christ, as husbands and wives, as children, with those who we work for, should be as it is under the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're doing anything else, we're in error and we're in the wrong. I understand we all have feelings, we all have emotions, and we're all offended. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 18, woe, for offenses must come. You're going to be offended more than once in your life. But the very conclusion that you can come to is, are you changing? Is your attitude changing toward those that offend you? I mean, everything is applied to the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, in the Word of God. Now, we begin a new year. And so often when we begin a new year, we think about new beginnings, setting new goals. Some of you call them New Year's resolutions, but you know it don't have to be a new year to set a new goal. And here in a little while, I want to talk about praying and reading the Word of God as being a goal that you set for yourselves that you attain. Let me ask you, I know that nearly every individual sitting here at some point in time, if not many times, have made some kind of goal in their life or resolution. How often have you seen the fulfillment of that goal? Have you obtained that in your life? Have you literally made the sacrifices necessary to see the fulfillment of that goal? It's very important. Many of us, after just a short time, forget those things that we so desired. You know what's interesting about these new goals or these New Year's resolutions? Oftentimes they bring a positiveness to our life, something that's needful. We don't wish for things that or pray for things or set goals for things to be less than last year. In other words, for instance, one of my goals this year is to pray more and to study God's Word more in depth, to really understand what Christ would have me to do. But I'm not setting that goal because I think I prayed too much last year or I studied too much. You know, we don't set goals generally that are negative in sense. You know, the words, probably one of the greatest goals that most people have at the beginning of a new year is the goal of a diet. How many of you have stated as the new year begins, you're going to go on this diet and you're going to lose all this weight and you're going to accomplish these things? And I know there's some who have accomplished them, but generally, a lot of us, if you're like me, and this is how it's happened to me time and time again, is a few weeks or a few months pass, and I look back, and that's nothing more than a faded memory. It was a great idea. It would have been beneficial to my life. Indeed, it would have brought about a change. But somehow or other, I lacked the motivation to continue, and I lacked the discipline to continue in that area. But there are many other goals. I have had a few goals in my life that I made that I was able to attain. One of them was this past year. For over 40 years of my life, I dipped tobacco since I was 15 years old in high school. And last December 31st, I decided that I didn't want to do that anymore. The doctor didn't tell me to stop. It wasn't something that, you know, I was feeling bad over. I had just got to where I wasn't satisfied with it. And I'm not preaching on you ought to stop using tobacco. This is not what this is about. I just decided I was unsatisfied, unhappy, and not content with it. And I decided that day I was going to quit. And it being January the 6th, I've not done it again since that day. And I pray by God's grace and the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ I can continue. But you know, the one thing that I remember telling my wife last year when I done this and wanted to do this, it became to where I got no pleasure out of it. I wasn't happy about it. I wasn't satisfied. But the point that I made to her was one that didn't have anything to do with the tobacco, but I said, if I can't make a sacrifice to stop doing this, if I can't fulfill my goal and attain the goal that I have, how in the world can I possibly make any sacrifice in serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, don't get me wrong. It's not about the tobacco. It's about saying, I'm going to make this sacrifice because if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to make sacrifices. And most of us have a hard time making those sacrifices. In America, we've been blessed with the best food in the world. I'll tell you right now, I've been to a few other places in the world, and there's no place that compares, at least that I've been to, like the food we eat in America. Matter of fact, I eat a lot of times, not because I'm hungry, just because it tastes good. I mean, that's the kind of habits that I've created. But I've done the same thing with the tobacco. My point is, do you set goals? Do you see those goals to their fulfillment? You know, if we decide and set a goal that we're going to pray more, do we follow through? Do we have the discipline to make that happen? Do we have the motivation to continue? Because no sacrifice you make in life will ever be easy. No habit that you've created for 40 years, eating, smoking, drinking, you name it, ain't none of that's going to be easy to stop. Taking drugs, it really doesn't matter. It's difficult. But you know, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. I've had people tell me, and this is a thing that probably rubs me wrong more than anything I've ever heard, this is the way that God made me. This is who I am. I can't change. My attitude can't change. My personality can't change. All you're doing is justifying the way you are, because by the grace of God, you can change. Paul made it clear. You may be unwilling to change, and that's understandable. But to say that you can't is not according to thus saith the Lord. Change is a part of our life, no matter how much you like it or dislike it. If you're growing in grace and knowledge, the evidence of your growth is that you've changed. Because if you're not changing, it gives me evidence on myself and anyone else that there is no growth in your life. Because there's not a one of us have refined ourselves that we can say we're on the same plateau with Jesus Christ. We preach Christ and Him crucified. Everything is about Christ, and it should be in your life. It's not about your husband and your wife. It's not about the football games you watch every weekend. It's not about the entertainment pleasure that you have, because you're a vapor that appeareth for a little time and you're gone. Poof. A lot of us are going to be poofing out in the next few years, I'll assure you. And I hate to say that, but I'll be one of them. I don't have long to live upon the earth. There's a lot of folks, when you consider the church, I believe that they'll be satisfied if the church will last long enough to have their funeral in it. But that's not my desire, and that's not my hope, and that's not the excitement that I have. We serve a God who is bigger than the universe. He fulfills all the universe. God is able. I'm not. You're not. But the Lord is able. Now, we believe that the Old Testament and the New Testaments are of divine origin. Our only rule of faith and practice. And going forward this year, I want us to practice some of it. I want us to look into it. I want us to set goals. I hope every one of you set a goal of some kind, regardless of what, whether it's a spiritual goal or a natural goal, doesn't matter. And you do everything in your power with the help of God's grace and His mercy, attain that goal, whatever it might be. You can do it. I don't care what it is that you need to do. Let's use some examples here as we go through. Let's use a young man and a young woman. Maybe they've had a number of relationships in life. Maybe they've gotten together, but as the year ends out, they seem to be where they were the year before. You know, if we're going to obtain a goal, there's some things that must take place. First of all, we must acknowledge we want to do something, but I think it's important to reflect back over the years, over a year. Is your life what you wanted? Are you happy? Are you satisfied? And are you content? If the answer to that question is no, no matter what situation is under consideration in your life, if the answer is no, if you don't make some changes in your life, I can tell you right now, when we come to January 1st, 2015, you're going to be right where you was at January 1st, 2014. I find it interesting in the Bible that there's only one act, I believe, that man has no part in. And that was the work of our eternal salvation. God the Father chose us. God the Son redeemed us. And God the Holy Spirit is going to call everyone that were chosen and redeemed, and not a one will fail to be in heaven. But throughout the rest of Scripture, God calls upon us to act, to do something. I've made this statement time and time again. I've heard old Baptist preach that, well, we pray and the Lord will send us some new members. I've been hearing that prayer all my life and it hadn't happened. I believe the Lord expects us to act. That's a great prayer. There's nothing wrong with praying it. But I believe the Lord calls us to action. Now, you talk about relationships or a job. Let's say you have a job that you don't like the money you're making, or you don't like the job at all. You know, God is able to open the door of opportunity. But if you go out and seek another job, and you have an interview or two, and you give up and you throw in the towel. You know, a lot of times God doesn't answer our prayers immediately. I was reading a devotional this morning before I come to church, and it talks about why God yet has not answered our prayers. Because He's teaching us to wait upon Him, to trust in Him in our dark hours. A lot of times we don't wait upon the Lord. We don't have the faith to continue on, do we? That's a reason a lot of times our goals are not fulfilled. You know, I've had this problem of being in prayer as I should be, attending church as I should have in the past. You know, the Lord gives no one the right to just not come to church. We willfully sin against God. That's all there are to it. Any time that you're able to come and you're not physically ailing, you forsake the assembling of yourselves, as is the matter of son. You have willfully sinned against the light of knowledge. The Bible's clear. The Lord, if He doesn't shed mercy upon you, He will rain down judgment. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But thank God for His rich mercy, wherewith He has loved us. We can attain these things. We can see changes in our personal lives. Is there anything that you'd like to see changed? As I said, you can't change someone else, but you can certainly change yourself. You can change how you think about those you would like to change. You know, that's a difficult thing to say. We got folks all over the place we'd like to change. But when we take the attitude of Jesus Christ, we'll change ourselves and how we view those folks. That's what we need to be looking at. As I said, change is difficult. It's hard for the young and the old alike. We must reflect back, I believe, if we set goals going forward, we must reflect back, and if we're not satisfied, if we're not happy and content with what's gone on behind us, then the only way those things are going to change or be different is for you to make change in your life. If you have a business, for example, and that business is not making money, and you're not proceeding forward as you should, if you don't make some changes, you're going to be no better off in another year than you are right now. All likelihood, you may not even be in business. If you're not attaining the desired results in a relationship, in hunting for a job, friends, I'm telling you, maybe it's you that needs to change. I know I need to change. Maybe these things are not working out because we're not making the necessary changes. As I said, most folks don't want to change. To be honest, the young are not too much more anxious to change than the old. But I know the older you get, the less likely you are to want to change. But if you're growing in grace, the evidence that you're growing is by your changing, by becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. He should be the focus of our life, the entirety of our life, the desire of our life. We determine to know nothing among ourselves, among you, than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. When we get up in the morning, do we live out the day to honor Jesus Christ? Now, as we go forward into this new year, a wanted eye, I think it's going to be an exciting year. You know, I want to encourage everyone, if you want to make some changes in your life, and I don't care what they are, I believe the analysis applies to both spiritual and to natural events in our life. I believe it applies to both of them. I believe that we need to be more prayerful. And we need to study God's Word more. I cannot emphasize that enough, and I cannot encourage you enough to do that. You know, there was 20 years in my life that I very seldom read the Bible. How in the world was I supposed to know what God expected of me or what I expected of Him if I didn't do it, if I didn't read the Word of God? It's the greatest book that was ever written. There's not any error in this book. It goes over every aspect and every problem that you could ever possibly face. Now, some people think, well, God just didn't understand that, but that's not the truth. God understands everything about you. He knows the feelings of your infirmities. If your attitude's wrong, if you love gossiping, I don't care what it is. What kind of goal have you set for yourselves? You know, think about Christ. And when you set a goal, you need to think about Him and you need to focus upon Him every day of your life. You do. You need to get up in the morning with Jesus Christ and you need to go to bed at night with Jesus Christ. When I do this, when I say this to this person, would it please the Lord? Is this how Jesus would have answered that person? Or do we forget about Jesus from Monday to Saturday, and when we get out in the workplace, do we honor those who have the rule and authority over us, our bosses, or those who are leaders of our country? Do we honor them as unto the Lord? That's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That means to train our children up in the way of the Lord, and when they get old, they will not depart from it. You know, last Sunday I talked about hope, and I have a lot of hopes, and not to drive your stakes too deep. It's just amazing how deep people drive their stakes in this world, and then it's just a short day or two to we're having their funeral. Our life is very, very short. In retrospect to eternity, it is very short. But sometimes we get bogged down in the things of this world and we lose sight of Jesus Christ. And when the storms of life come crashing down upon us, and they will crash down upon every one of us at some point, you'll lose somebody that you love that was very unexpected to lose in your life. You'll lose someone. I know from experience, Brother Darrell knows from experience, and most of you here know from experience. Or you'll lose your job, or you'll be unhappy with your job, or some situation you're in will not turn out the way that you thought it would. But we're to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding. You know, David said, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. David wasn't talking about the few moments before he died. It may embrace that idea, but he talked about all the days of your life. I want to see people change 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 5 says, our gospel came not in word only, but in power. Now we know the gospel does not have power to give spiritual life. Absolutely, positively, does not give spiritual life to anyone. But the word of God has some type of power in it, because Paul claimed it had. It has the power to transform your life, to make a difference, to bring a change about. Why did Paul say in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind? You know, when we set out and make new goals in our life, the first and foremost thing that we should do is plan to renew our minds. That's exactly the evidence and the change that will take place. When you begin to transform yourself, your mind will be renewed. It'll be renewed with the things of Jesus Christ. Saturate your mind with the Bible and God's Word. And when the storms of life come and the difficulties come your way, those trials and tribulations are sure and certain to come. When you have a thorn in the side, as the Apostle Paul had, you'll understand what Paul said when Jesus told him, my grace is sufficient for you, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Will you have sorrow? Yes, you will. Will you have a bad day? Yes, you will. But if you don't tune your mind and your attitude into Jesus Christ, you will never change, because you don't have the power and the ability on your own to change. But through Jesus Christ, you and I can change a lot of things. He's given us an example that we should follow in His steps, we're told in 1 Peter chapter 2. Are we following that example? Are we growing in grace and knowledge? Are we setting goals out here and with the help of the Lord, obtaining those goals? Seeing the fulfillment of those goals? Friends, we have that ability. I'm not just up here talking about something that's a fairy tale. But I tell you, you got to be committed to it. And that's where discipline comes in. You got to be motivated. And your motivation has to be the Lord Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ is not your motivation, if you yourself are motivated more than in your life than Jesus Christ is to you, then you will never get there. I read a book last week and it talked about in America that most people were self-absorbed. I have to amen that. That's a problem we have. Being self-absorbed in America. When Jesus said, if any man come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Self-denial is the biggest difficulty that any child of God, I believe, has ever faced. And for some folks, it's far more difficult than for others. But this is not what Kenny Venable says. This is what thus saith the Lord. You must deny yourself. But if you put yourself before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, you're certainly not denying yourself. And you certainly should not see change in your life. You know, I think about the years that I've lived upon this earth, being going on 56. I'm not quite there yet. Knowing that I don't have a lot of time left. I really don't. You may sit here and say, well, I'm older than you, I have less. But regardless of that, I don't have a lot of time left. My interest is to serve God and to work in His kingdom, for the furtherance of His kingdom, to do all I can that the church in Lubbock, Texas is still here, a place for my grandchildren, your grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and on to come in as a refuge out of the world to worship the Lord our God. That is my desire. And with the help of Almighty God, we can do that. You know, when Jesus went to the seven churches at Asia Minor, do you believe He called upon them to repent and change? Do you believe that? They're not there anymore, are they? Reckon they didn't repent, or they refused to change, or they refused to put Jesus Christ as the center of their life? Don't think it can't happen. It's happening right in the presence of our very eyes. You know, if we can't attain personal goals and we can't see them fulfilled because we don't have the discipline and the motivation to make the changes, this saying, this is who I am and this is the way I am, doesn't fly. Christ says that doesn't fly, because through His strength and by His power, you can be an overcomer. You can make these changes. You can fulfill those goals. You know, discipline means to be educated. It also means to be chastised. And sometimes we have to chasten ourselves, crucify the flesh. When we talk about sacrifices, that's what goes along with sacrifice. You know, we get so caught up in the world and the things that this world has to offer that we lose sight of our real purpose here upon the earth. And that is Jesus Christ and none other. That is our purpose, to bring glory and honor to His name. It talks about instruction. Discipline means to be instructed. These are some of the definitions. It also means to cultivate. It means to cultivate. You know, I believe that the Bible teaches us that we can have a good life. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Do you believe that? Or do you believe that we're to be a poor and destitute people without? Now, there's many of God's people in that condition. He also said, "Happy are that people whose God is the Lord." I believe we're to be a happy people, not a downtrodden people, because one day we're going to live in paradise. But let's not concentrate all the time on the hereafter. We know that God Himself is going to deliver us into glory. But the Bible has much to say about the here and now. How you act, how you talk, how you deal with your family members, how you deal with the people you work for. And I'll tell you right now, if you're not doing it as thus saith the Lord, then there is a need for change. And you need to set a goal, and no matter how hard we might need to bite our tongue or what great sacrifice that we need to make, by the strength of Jesus, we can make those sacrifices. Because goals that we set bring positive results. We never seek out negative results. We seek out positive results in our life. That's what goals are in New Year's resolutions. Even if we don't see the fulfillment, we're always seeking to better our lives. I've never seen anybody who wanted to make a New Year's resolution to worsen their life. By nature, when we set goals, even if we don't attain them, they're to better our life, to make us better, to enrich our life, to help us as we go through life's journey. When you think about cultivation, I want to look at it in the parable of the sower, and I'm not going to go over it, but think about that for a minute. There are four pieces of ground. And I believe that parable can be applied in both a spiritual and in a natural sense. In three pieces of that ground, there was always something that was causing that person to be denied of fulfillment of the goal that they were after, if you want to put it that way. The weeds choked them out. There were stones in the way, which there's always something in the way in our life. Some things were dropped by the wayside because I believe there wasn't enough attention being paid. But that good ground that was being farmed and cultivated, that's about a farmer. And that's how the Lord put it, the first parable in the gospel. When he cultivated to that, it would bring forth 30 or 60 or 100 fold. Can you imagine having a business and bringing forth 30 or 60 or 100 fold? Can you imagine that kind of change? Do you believe it? That's what the Word of God says. Can you imagine a church seeing an increase of 30 or 60 or 100 fold in its attendance? Do you think it's possible? The Lord says it is. They were working. They were cultivating that ground. As a farmer cultivates and fertilizes and waters, as I did for most of my life. If you want to bring forth a bountiful crop, if you want to see an increase, you got to work at it. If you want to see a difference in your life, a difference in your relationships, a difference in the job that you have, you got to work at it. We've grown to a state in America, I believe, and I think we all guilty of this a little bit. We'd like to wake up some morning and everything be just how we want it. It just doesn't work that way. If that's what you're looking for, you're going to keep looking. And this year is going to pass, and the next year is going to pass, and you're going to be right where you were years ago. Change means you need to be disciplined, motivated, and make a commitment. And understand that if your prayers are not answered today or tomorrow, it doesn't mean that God's not answering your prayer. A lot of times God is testing us. Are we waiting upon the Lord? We'll read that verse as we close in a minute. Are we waiting upon the Lord? Are we trusting the Lord with all our heart? Or are we spending more time leaning on our own understanding? I tell you, there's a lot of folks that lean to their own understanding. Because they can't understand God and God's ways, they lean on their own understanding. We're told in all thy ways to acknowledge Him. If you'll do that and trust in Him with all your heart, He's promised to direct your steps, wherever they might lead and go in this life. change is really possible. It's not just some fantasy that we dream of. With the help of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can all change. Whatever you want to change in your life, I believe that power is available. But it's oftentimes hard when we try to go it alone, isn't it? We're not able, but He is. It's through Him. When Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, not standing beside Him, through Christ. Christ in you, as I spoke of last week, Christ in you, the hope of glory. There's something in you that is greater than he that is in the world, speaking of Satan. You can be an overcomer. You can see the fulfillment of your goals. And brothers and sisters, when we focus upon Jesus Christ, there is always something in your life that needs refining. None of us are ever going to get to a plateau that we can honestly say we've went as far as we can go in this life. We're so much like Jesus that there's no sense in going on anymore. Do you feel that you're there? Do you feel you're on a level with Jesus? If not, change needs to take place in our lives. Jesus, our God, does not change, but He calls upon us in the here and now to make changes and to live our lives to the honor and to the glory of His name. Now let's move on for a minute and have a cup. I believe we need to start with prayer. If you want a real change in your life, you need to start with prayer. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. What is the best way that you can truly draw nigh to God? It is in prayer under our Heavenly Father. When you think about Daniel over in the book of Daniel, he had created such a habit. It was kind of like my habit of dipping, which was no good. But it was his habit of praying. Now, I've heard people say, well, you know, you don't want to pray too regularly at the same time, because then there it doesn't mean anything. But the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. That means to be constant and consistent. It means to have a pattern of prayer every day. It doesn't mean to pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It means to be constant and consistent. Pray every day. If it wasn't meaningful, it wasn't beneficial, God would not have called upon us to do that. We think in Matthew 21, in verse 22, the Lord Himself said that we need to enter into prayer believing. I believe this is one problem. In the verse 21, it talks about faith, and it talks about doubting not. Let's go read those verses just for a sample. Second, see if that fits any of our causes. In verse 21, Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done unto the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now James tells us not to pray amiss. But the real question is, do you believe that God is concerned with your everyday life? He said He knew the feelings of your infirmities. He knows the battles that you fight. He knows everything that you face every day, the troubles that will come your way, the challenges that are going to come your way. God knows them all. He knew them before you ever knew they would exist. He's loved you with an everlasting love. He loved you so much that He went to the cross of Calvary and died in your room instead. Do you not think He's concerned about your well-being night and day upon this earth? The Bible tells us He is. Do you call upon the Lord? Do you wait upon the Lord as you should? Is Christ your everything? Or is something in this world your everything? Friends, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about you. It's not about your family. It's not about your extended family. Life is about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Without Christ, we'd have no hope. And our efforts here today would be in vain. We're here for one purpose, to enter into worship, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here for that very purpose. And it is my prayer that that's what we'll do in the coming year. But it is also my prayer that as we go out in the world, that we will set goals for ourselves, attain those goals in the reading and the study of God's Word. If you will go to God in prayer, enter into prayer, believing, study His Word, God will reveal unto you things that you've never seen. He will help you to go places you've never been. Because the God that you and I serve fills the entire universe. He's everywhere present and nowhere absent. Do you not believe that God is concerned with you right at this very moment? I think some people have a hard time. You know, I think about a man telling me that when he would counsel someone or sit down with his wife, that they would set an empty chair in the room. And in that empty chair sat the Lord Jesus Christ. How would you react one to the other when you always knew that Christ was sitting right there in your mere presence? Just because you can't visually see him doesn't mean he's not there. He knows your state. He knows your circumstances. And I tell you, he's concerned. But he calls upon us to act. Over in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, and y'all all know the verse, over and over and over, he calls upon you to raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Only your eternal salvation was taken care of without you being a participant or having any part of it. But he calls upon you to pray, even when he knows what you're going to pray about before you even offer up the prayer. He knows what you think before you think it. So sometimes we wonder, why would we need to pray? Because God calls upon us to pray, doesn't he? He commands us to pray. We're called upon to move forward in life. We're called upon to make the changes that we need to be more conformed to Jesus Christ than we are to this world. To change our minds by transformation. And the gospel has the power to transform your lives. But if you don't read it, if you don't enter into prayer, things will not change. You're not going to wake up tomorrow morning or 6 months from now or a year from now and see things any different. If you want change in your life, if you want to attain and fulfill the goal that you've set, regardless of what they are, you've got to be disciplined and motivated to make those changes. We're told that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. All of it. And for every situation in your life, there's a Scripture profitable for that circumstance, that situation. And Jesus' work is perfect. He is the rock. His work is perfect. His writings are perfect. What he knows about you is perfect. So who else would you want to ask about the problems that you have? Who else would you want to trust in? You know, we live in a country where apathy is great. People are no longer in tune with God as they should be, in my opinion, not like they are in some other places. And I believe that's because we've been so richly blessed. We have so much. But you know, it is God that giveth thee power to get wealth. It is God that blesses you with the clothes you wear, the water you drink, the food that you eat, the church that we're worshiping in, the house you live in, the children you have. The list is endless. It's endless. God didn't create you to live here for your own glory. Sometimes we seem to live that way, but we're to live here for the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just because of what he done for you, you're going to live in paradise with him one day, forever and ever, and death will have no power over you. That ought to motivate us and discipline us to change, to make those changes. You know, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why we need the strength of Jesus Christ. He tells us over there that the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And without the help of Christ, you cannot attain your goals. If things are not working out the way that you wanted them to work out, if you had goals before in the past and they faded away, you need to enter into prayer. As we enter into 2014, it's a grand time and a great year to make these changes. To pray more, to study God's word more. We're told to study in 2 Timothy 2:16, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. It's work. We're told to do that. All Scripture is profitable. You know, it's profitable for doctrine from the first word of Genesis to the last word of Revelations. You know, there's a lot of people in the world that have not heard the prophet of God's word, much less read the prophet of God's word. But it has the answers to your problems, to your sadness, to all the times that somebody disappointed you. But I'll tell you right now, Jesus Christ will never disappoint you. He will never. I may, somebody else may, but the Lord Jesus Christ will never disappoint. He's faithful to his promises. He is the one that helps us night and day. As I said, the gospel has a power to transform your lives. I want to read three verses and close that I believe are very applicable to our lives as we think about setting goals and going forward. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Do you think that if you're a child of God, you can't do this and Jesus is not concerned? Do you think that? There's a power that's in you that is greater than any power in this world. All powers are subject to the power of our God. Let's notice what it says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. We're told over there that to be carnally minded, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Now, he doesn't mean if you're carnally minded that you're going to immediately die. But he means that you're going to get through the difficulties of this life when you're spiritually minded, when you saturate yourself with the Word of God, when Jesus Christ is your focus every day. He should be. Religion is not about coming to church for an hour and a half on Sunday. That's not what it's about. Service begins as soon as worship's over. The lights that are to shine in a dark world are you and I and every other child of God. And when we come together, if our lights are shining as they should, then we're that city set up on a hill that cannot be hid. But they shine where you work, where you live, where you meet people, where you come in contact with people. That's where your light is to shine. And if it continues to shine, and we're all doing that, you'll see great change. You will see great blessings from the Lord. I truly believe that. And I close with Isaiah chapter 40, verses 30 and 31. He says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." I tell you right now, we need to trust in the Lord. We need to wait upon the Lord. And we need to make the Lord Jesus Christ the focus of our life. If you won't change, and like I said, I can't change you. The only person that I can change is me. The only person you can change is you. If you don't like the way things have been and you've set goals to make changes, then I encourage you to pray to the Lord day and night. Pray without ceasing. Go to the Lord. Study His Word. And God has promised to be faithful to you in bringing about these changes. But if you go it alone, you don't seek the Lord's help, don't expect anything to be different in a year or 5 years or any other time. When we look back over the last 5 years and things didn't go the way we wanted them, if there's no changes made in our lives, we can expect 5 years from now things to be just exactly like they are, no better. It applies in all natural circumstances, I believe, in all spiritual circumstances. We're called upon to act in the Word of God, and may God bless us with the strength, the motivation, and the discipline to meet our goals in the coming year. May God bless you. This is my prayer. If there be one